Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And the conversation's been red hot today on a Friday in New York City. Alan Hahn in for Zubin.
Woo!
Yeah!
Party!
Jaeger bombs!
Name for the, everybody!
Just name the band. Please, somebody just tell me you know who this is.
Zero clue.
Come on. Hall of Fame, this is like classic.
I don't listen to bands.
You don't have to listen to it to know this is just pop culture. Neither of you know who this is.
Black Savage or whatever it's called.
Oh, boy.
I said Black Sabbath.
You guys actually referenced this band the other day. You actually said it backwards. You said Zed Leplin.
I was going to say that. I was going to say it. I was going to go there, but I'm like, that's always one of my go-tos.
It's like you're Canadian, Zed.
Zed, I like that Zed Leplin guy.
I need to help you guys get cultured. I gotta start introducing
you,
Can you listen to that for several hours straight? There is all kinds of other cultures, you know.
It is, but
seven hours straight? No.
Your head would hurt.
James Steele could,
one of our producers. Profiling. He could easily.
Yeah.
That actually song helps him sleep.
James, does that help you relax, James?
Yeah. I feel great right now. Got to listen to some Zed Leplin and we're in good shape.
Led Zeppelin to him is like soft rock.
20 minutes out.
I just think you need to be well-rounded.
It's good stuff. Yeah.
So you'll be introduced to different things. But one thing we've been introduced to in the NBA is this phrase load management. And we had a spirited conversation, right, you would say, previously about this in reference to a tweet that LeBron put out that set Greeny off. And I kind of agreed with it. It's not necessarily about LeBron using the term, more importantly, that he was not able to play, but more importantly, raised the banner for the fans. And the point is that kind of suggests the games during the regular season in the NBA are feeling less and less important, especially to the players. And I want to know what fans think of this.
Jay.
But here's a question. Here's a question for you guys. With the extra week now in the NFL.
Yes.
Now, that season's getting longer and more difficult. And you've heard some players even reference how we got to learn how to manage through a season because that extra week, that extra game, there's a lot more to it. Listen to Teddy Bruschi on Get Up talking about whether or not, are we going to start talking about load management now in the NFL?
There are situations that would warrant load management. Is it possible in week 13 where a team could have, let's say, a four-game lead in their division? Yes, it is. Is it possible that you have a player that's in their 12th, 13th, 14th year in the league that needs a week? Absolutely. It's another added element to adding another game onto the schedule. Do you load manage players so they're there for those critical divisional games like the Washington football team may have at the end of the year?
Think about it. You have a lot of your divisional games late in the season. Could we see sometime in November your QB1 just takes the week off? Maybe you're playing a weaker opponent.
No.
Maybe want to protect him.
If you got a four game, first of all, who would have the AFC East in the New England Patriots of old? That's not there anymore, where New England would run away with the division.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know, first of all, and I know he's given examples, but who would have a four-game lead to start with?
Yeah, he was trying to come up with it. Teddy was saying situations that would
warrant it. And I understand what he was trying to do. But no, there is only 17 games. It's 17 weeks, 18 weeks, 17 games in the National Football League. You're not going to load manage anything. If you are in week 14 – and you've clinched a division, and you're now moving to week 15 or 16, and you've solidified a seeding, and your seeding can't change, then, yeah, you may want to pull Patrick Mahomes out of there in week 15 because you've already clinched the first round bye.
Isn't that what happened with Mahomes when he started that last game? They sat
you
Alex
may
Smith.
You yeah, may exactly. sit guys down because of that, and if you want to call it load management, call it whatever. I call it keeping my damn team healthy from being injured so we could go on to win the Super Bowl.
Oh, you know what that is, Key. You say load management in NFL. People, what do you mean? Like, people, if that scenario that you just talked about has always happened.
And you can't load manage certain positions in the National Football League because other positions will be affected by it. And here's what I mean. If I decide to take out my left tackle who's in tackles play forever, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's in his 14th, Andrew Whitworth for the Rams.
Right, yeah.
Big Whit, been around forever.
Yeah.
If I take him out and I slide you in, guess what happens to my quarterback? He gets hit in the head.
Well, if I'm taking my left tackle out, I'm going to take out my
starting
QB as well.
Now I'm taking out my starting QB. But wait, hold on. Listen,
though. The Browns.
But listen, Alan.
I mean, not the Browns. The Lions. What does it matter?
But listen. What do you mean, what does it matter?
Because it's a week. I've got
that dude on the other. You think that dude on the other side is not going to rush that quarterback and go get that QB just because I'm on the Lions?
Once again, if I'm taking my left tackle and taking out my QB one.
Okay, so you're taking. Okay, so here we go.
What do I care?
But check it out. I just said this though. If you listen, it affects everything.
Right.
So if I take the left out, mm-hmm. we're taking the QB out.
Yep.
So now who are we taking out? We're taking out the receiver. Because if I leave Robert Woods in, and then I got Jay Will throwing the ball to Woods, Woods is doing this, turning around, jumping.
Pop, pop.
Now he gets hit. Now I lose him. Even though I got the left tackle and the quarterback healthy, I lose my top receiver. Or we keep our running back in, and somebody blitzes up the A-gap, somebody misses, he gets hit in his head, he's out now. So it affects everything.
So you're saying, unlike the NBA, which you have one star.
We have a lot more games. We have 82 games.
But
in the
NFL, you need more of a team. Like you need, you know, there's more pieces. It's just a different. So basically, Jay, it's not going to be a problem in the NFL regardless.
No. I don't see it.
This is more an NBA thing. It's not necessarily an NFL.
You're playing sometimes 3 to 4 games a week in the NBA with travel. With smaller injuries that continue to accumulate, and you have one guy like a LeBron James who makes a world of a difference on the team, you want to make sure that person is in the best possible health to win when it matters down the stretch.
And then in the NFL, unlike the NBA, and this is not a slight at Jay Will or the NBA, but guys can play with certain injuries in the NFL. Mm. Where you're a shooter in the NBA, you get a pinky, you're done, right? Just a little fracture. It's like, in the NFL, you can tape that thing up, put a cast on it, and still go out there and play. A soft cast and go out and play. In the NBA, you get something you can't, mm-hmm. right? You got to let it heal.
Yeah.
In the NFL, a guy gets a high ankle sprain, he still give it a week or two, he goes back out there and plays. Where LeBron James gets a high ankle sprain, just a subtle little tweak because of all the different movements and things that he has to do, you can't take that chance, so you allow him the rest as long as possible.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I really want to hear from the listeners on this because I don't feel like I'm alone in this argument.
Yes,
Paul is in Arkansas. Good morning, Paul. How are you doing?
Razorback?
I'm good.
Oh, all right.
I got a personal hand story here. Is I think the biggest problem with the NBA is that it actually works. But I used to go, it's about 3.5 hour drive to Oklahoma City for me, and I used to go to a game every year. I went to a Spurs game. I'd pick a high-profile game, cost a lot more than the regular ticket. Mm-hmm. Went to a Spurs game one year. They set Duncan, Manu, Parker, and Kawhi. And then I went to a Lakers game last year, and LeBron and AD were late scratches. And it just makes it to where I don't want to go to the games anymore because – I don't want to drive and pay my money and then not know who I'm going to see.
Yeah, it's a gamble. I think that's the point I'm trying to make.
But I agree with him on that. I said that. I said if I went to a Dodger game or if I went to a Yankee game and I wanted to see Judge and whoever else is there and all of a sudden
Yankees
I get there.
The Yankees are a bad example because never play.
But I'm just saying. Yeah. I'm here, I want to go to a Yankee game and
you're right,
that
though.
Happens. Yeah, he's right. Yeah, you're driving 3 hours. I'm going to be mad as hell that I get there and – for whatever reason, they're not playing.
Yeah,
of course, I'm going to be mad.
You know, it's a good addition to the team, but I'm not here to see Markieff Morris start.
I understand that point, right? I understand
that,
but this whole conversation came up, Jay, because Greeny said that LeBron was referring to a championship as more important than getting hurt again in a meaningless Rocket game.
But see, and it's also only applicable to the rare few who are the super, superstars. Like, nobody cares about, like, if Terry Rozier misses a game, right?
If you're a Hornets fan, you do. If you're a Hornets fan, you do.
Okay,
because I came to watch them win, and he'll help them win, but now he's resting?
But LeBron James is in a completely different category, right, than a Terry Rozier.
All right. You know what? Let's get a front office perspective on this. Mike Tannenbaum's going to join us with not only on the NBA aspect of this, but NFL aspect of this as well, on load management and everything else. So that's coming up next, and we'll do that after Jay has this from Straight Talk.
It's time for some straight talking you just got to hear on this show. Sure, saving money feels good, but cutting your wireless bill in half? That feels really good, doesn't it? Like a walk-off home run in the ninth inning kind of good. Okay, maybe not that good, but pretty darn good. With Straight Talk, you can get 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month, up to 50% less than the other guys, plus no contract, all on America's best networks. Why pay a whole lot when you can pay half? Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
Hey, it's Greeny, and on Friday, we're roaring into the final weekend of the NBA season with a lot left to be settled, plus plenty of baseball and schedule talk, too. See you then. It's Greeny, starting 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN+.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin. We're coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. A beautiful scene if you're watching on ESPN2.
So pretty.
As we are discussing... Finally. Load management and how it's creeped into not only the NBA, but potentially, maybe, it could also creep into the NFL. And joining us right now to discuss that, Mike Tannenbaum, who certainly would have a perspective as a GM in the NFL, but also some time as an agent as well and representing Steve Kerr, among others, in the NBA. So, Mike, let's just begin with the Mike Greenberg. I don't know if you heard the entirety of the rant, but it was very interesting based off of something that LeBron tweeted about how he wasn't going to play in the game that night, but more importantly was what he said. He'd be there to raise the championship banner, and he felt like that, you know, putting more importantly on it suggested that the games are no longer important. So before we even discuss anything, Mike, I want you to listen to Greeny and that rant.
Nothing is more important than playing a game. You have a game. Don't tell me to care about your games if you're telling me you don't. Don't tell me I should get excited about these games if you're telling me you don't. You're not excited. It's more important to raise the banner. Anyone can raise the banner. We came to watch a game. We came to watch you play. You're the best player. Now, again, I don't like doing this when it comes to LeBron because LeBron traditionally has not load managed. But at the end of the day, it is just a perfect microcosm of what has gone wrong here. The players have decided the regular season doesn't matter.
So, Mike, let's go from the GM perspective first. Is this something that you would say for you and your team if you were running an NBA team? Is this a concern for you, or do you understand the need for it and feel like it is necessary?
You know, context is everything, guys. You know, 10, 15 years ago or 150 years ago, like when Keyshawn played, you know, we didn't have like the technology necessarily of what we have today. And I think context is everything, which is not all games are equal in terms of the NBA had an abbreviated season. They're trying to win a championship. And I know recently teams use information like monitoring devices, tracking devices, using that with analytics to know when you may have a higher risk of injury. So I think this era is different because we have better information.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Mike.
So it sounds like to me, Mr. Tannenbaum, you certainly would prefer to raise a banner rather than your superstar going out onto the court with an injury and re-aggravating that so you can't defend your championship. You may answer the question, sir.
So do you guys notice that when Key agrees with me, it's Mr. Tannenbaum, and yes. when he doesn't, he's like, oh, you're just a former GM. What
yes.
do you know?
What do you know?
So,
right. you never played.
At least you know where it is, MT, you know?
Look, guys, the object of the exercise is to win a championship, and of course you want guys to play. And LeBron is not only, you know, a role model and a leader of the Lakers, he is for the whole NBA. He does set a huge standard, you know, to whom much is given, much is expected. So I do understand where Green is coming from. But, yes, winning a championship is absolutely – that is the task at hand. And if you have better information, information that's actionable in terms of you have a higher risk of a soft tissue injury, I think it's about being smart, not being tough.
Is it something that could happen in the NFL, do you think, with the extra week? Could you see it happening where at some point,
you know,
during
Teddy
the season?
Bruschi brought
– Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're going to be talking about that on Get Up, and I know Teddy Bruschi mentioned it yesterday. You know, Rex Ryan used to have an interesting expression, guys. He used to say that division games count a game and a half. So if it's late in the season and it's a non-conference game, absolutely I could see in a 17-game season a veteran or two sitting down. Again, if it's calculated, if it's targeted, and it makes sense. But Key, as you know, when you're managing 53 personalities and egos and insecurities, it's a very slippery slope. And I think that's why we're going to see it targeted. I think it'll be non-conference games, and I think it's going to be very selective.
One of the things that I said to the guys, Mike, is it affects everything that you do from a 53-man roster. If I take out my left tackle, most likely I'm taking out my quarterback. And if I take out my quarterback, I probably are going to take out my lead receiver, because if I leave one of those three in, something could happen which will affect us moving down the line. So it affects everything across the board. So I don't know. I always was a guy who wanted to play regardless if it was 17 weeks or 20 weeks.
You know, Key, but you know what's interesting about that is, like, not all situations are created equal, and here's what I mean by that. Let's go to Atlanta. If it's late in the year and they're going to sit Matt Ryan, Julio Jones should sit as well. Kyle Pitts needs every rep possible, and again, we don't know what the rules are going to be. There may be an abbreviated preseason or training camp, so every situation will be different. Where I agree, if you're pulling Matt Ryan, Julio Jones being out there with the backup quarterback is really not a good use of keeping Julio healthy. But someone like Kyle Pitts, who was the fourth pick in the draft, this year he'll need every rep he can get.
All right, Mike, let's play more fun with sound, okay? I want you to react now to this. We had Amon Green, the former Packers running back, on our show yesterday, and he said something very interesting about an interaction that he had himself with Brian Gutekunst as he was looking to get into scouting into the front office. He was looking for a job. And this is a reaction that I wanted you to hear it and then tell me if you've ever experienced something like this or if you know that this does exist in the game. Take a listen.
I say, hey, bro, you got to be honest. Me and him, we crossed paths when I was a few years ago. I was trying to get into the NFL in terms of scouting and things of that nature. And I had a conversation with him myself personally and talking about, you know, getting into scouting. And I remember doing an interview with him, and it was just interesting how it went down. It was like they said, oh, well, you have a little bit too much experience. And I'm like, huh? I was like, well, wouldn't you want somebody like that on the staff to scout talent, to make sure you bring guys in? So it's just be honest. That was not an honest answer. I'm like, just give me, just tell me real that what you don't need me here for. Say something like, say that. So he needs to be real. He needs to learn from this situation by being honest with his players, especially the players like Holmgren already mentioned, that are a majority of this offense.
So, Mike, too much experience. And does that also reveal a little something about maybe Gutekunst and maybe like what he's saying? You're not really being honest with me.
Yeah, no, that's a tough situation. Look, you want to help former players make career transitions and help them when you can. Maybe that wasn't Brian Gutekunst's finest hour. He's been a successful GM for a long time. Obviously, the way he handled the Aaron Rodgers situation could have been handled different. And I'm sure if he could go back, he would have done things differently. And those conversations are difficult, but you want to be as transparent as you can. And I know a lot of players do want to get into coaching or scouting, so those conversations happen quite a bit. I know Brian to be an upstanding, honest guy in terms of when you try and make trades. And I'm sure there's a couple of situations maybe he'd like to have back, like we all would.
MT, Rob Domofsky has this great article where he goes over the timeline of all the issues that Aaron Rodgers has had with the team. Do you feel like it's fractured to the point that it just can't be amended? And if you were in the position of Brian G, I can't say his last name, that's why I call him Brian G, the GM, would you hold firm in your stance about saying, Aaron Rodgers, you will be here and we are not trading you?
Jay, well, I would work relentlessly to solve it. And I would try to offer things to Aaron Rodgers that nobody else can. And what I mean by that, legacy. So I would talk about naming boulevards after him around the stadium. Aaron Rodgers started off at a junior college. Maybe that's important to him. Maybe there are scholarships they could fund together in the Wisconsin area for junior colleges in terms of initiatives that are important to him. I would try to find ways to try to do things that resonate with Aaron Rodgers that could only happen with the Green Bay Packers, that couldn't happen with the Raiders or the Broncos or whomever else, and work hard at that solution and about moving forward. Ironically, we just talked about Amon Green wanting to be part of the Packers. I would be talking to Aaron Rodgers about, hey, we want you here 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, and those are things only the Packers can offer.
Clearly, you mentioned 10, 20, 30 years from now, the Carolina Panthers didn't want Teddy Bridgewater to be part of the legacy whatsoever. He's now in Denver as their quarterback. But he has some comments on Coach Matt Rhule and some of the things that they did along with Joe Brady, like not practicing the two-minute drill on a consistent basis or the red zone period on a consistent basis. I've never been a part of anything like that, Mike. What did you make of his comments about the way the systems are being run in Carolina?
Well, substantively, he sounds right in terms of, as we know, Key, you know, red zone, 2 minute, so many games in the NFL are decided in those moments. I'm a little surprised that he said that publicly. Teddy is a guy that is a first-class guy. He's revered, great character, great leader. I'm a little surprised that he would say that publicly, but I understand what he's saying substantively. And it'll be interesting to see if Matt Rhule evolves, you know, from year one to year two. We keep talking about these transition guys, and Urban Meyer is going to have a lot of bumps in the road this year, and it's going to be for situations like this where your practice and your scripting is totally different from college to the pros.
Mike, just also when we go to Chicago, let's look at that situation as we were looking at schedules and trying to figure out, I think what we all do, does Justin Fields start week one? Does he start maybe at this week against this opponent, what your record is, whatever it is? You're in that front office. You make the move to get him. Do you almost feel like compelled, I got to start him right away because this is the guy that's going to save my job? Or do you not want to rush it because it could look really bad early on? It could cost you your job.
Yeah, I want him to play as soon as he's ready to go. With us, with Mark Sanchez going back a decade ago, he took play one, snap one, practice one. We never looked back, and we went to the playoffs. And I think of all the situations in the first round, Chicago is the most interesting in terms of performance will matter in the preseason. Trevor Lawrence is going to start. Zach Wilson will. Trey Lance won't. Mac Jones won't. But Chicago, to me, is fascinating, guys, because it's Dalton, it's Justin Fields, and let's go. Best player plays. Because, Alan, if you start him prematurely, your locker room is going to look at you like, what are we doing here? We want to have a chance to win. So I'm really interested. Like, I think his rookie minicamp matters. The day he walks in the building, it's on. There's competition, and the best player should play. And that should be the judge of every decision they make.
Yeah, that's how Key put it. He's like, if the players are all coming over to coaches kind of saying, hey, this guy, he's got it, then you sort of read that more than you read anything else. There's no question that that's going to be the biggest story in Chicago. Mike, thanks so much. We appreciate your time, as always.
All right, Mr. Tannenbaum.
I appreciate it. And Key calling me Mr. Tannenbaum. I feel like we took a massive step today.
Just today. It'll be back to regular
as
Monday.
Long as you always agree with them. You see how that works. Mike Tannenbaum on the Goodyear Hotline. Brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Coming up next, take it or shake it. That is after SportsCenter. SportsCenter right now. So the Suns beat the Trailblazers. This is big news for Key's Lakers. The Suns win 118-111, so Phoenix moves one game behind the Jazz for the top seed in the West, but it also keeps the Lakers' chances of avoiding that play-in tournament alive. So according to ESPN's BPI, the Lakers, with that Blazers loss, now have a 21% chance to earn a top six seed.
Don't worry about my Lakers.
Had his seventh straight 30-point game in the loss. That's the second longest streak of his career. So for the Suns, they can pretty much decide who they want to play by if they win or lose, and Chris Paul said it doesn't matter.
I've been in the West my whole career. West ain't never been easy. I don't care who you playing, what series it is, what game it is. You know what I mean? I played in New Orleans, you know, when I was in that division with Memphis, Houston, with Yao and T-Mac and Dallas when they was nice with Dirk and Stackhouse and all them. The West always been a beast. So if you try to match up with somebody else, you can still get it handed to you.
No load management for the Suns. The Warriors, they host the Pelicans tonight, 9:30 Eastern on ESPN. So Steph Curry looking to become the fourth oldest player to win a scoring title in NBA history. Only Michael Jordan has won a scoring title at the age of 33 or older. Curry also has five career 40-point games against the Pelicans. So pay attention tonight. He trails only Russell Westbrook, who had seven for the most 40-point games against the Pelicans all time. Now, if Curry hits just one three-pointer tonight, he would officially pass his own record for the most three-point field goals per game in a single season all time. The Yankees have placed shortstop Gleyber Torres on the IL after he tested positive for COVID-19 again. Now, the Yankees have confirmed eight cases of the virus this week. Torres has been the first player to test positive over the stretch. The previous seven cases for the Yankees with coaches and support staff. So the Yankees said Torres was fully vaccinated. He previously had COVID-19 during the most recent baseball offseason. Meanwhile, the Yankees lost 9-1 to the Rays yesterday. It was their biggest loss versus Tampa since 2016. SportsCenter brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Time for some Straight Talk. Cutting your wireless bill in half feels good. Home run in the ninth, good. Straight Talk offers 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month, up to 50% less than the other guys on America's best networks. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract. No compromise. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We played a little Take It or Shake It, Evan.
Guys, the Bucks will blow out the Patriots in Week 4. Take it or shake it.
Shake it!
No, man, that's not going to happen.
Nah.
First of all,
not going to let that happen.
It's Week 1, preparation. He knows week Tom four. Brady. I mean, Week 4, my bad. He knows Tom Brady more than anybody. And he understands what Tom Brady could potentially do. He understands how to defend Gronkowski. So I'm not, yeah, no. Now, they can win the game, but not a blowout.
I just want to see Bill Belichick with a snarl on his face. I just want to see him show some emotion. I just want to see it.
I want to see after the game on the field crossing paths. Do they have any acknowledgement at all?
So you want to see that Eric Mangini, Belichick.
Oh,
remember that?
That's what I want to see. Does Brady seek him out? Do they look for each other or not?
Absolutely they will.
You think they will?
Absolutely, 100%.
All cameras be
on
that.
They have so much respect for each other, man.
Do they do it publicly or do it behind the scenes?
No, they do it publicly and behind the scenes.
Because they know people need to see it.
And there's no better feeling than actually winning that game and shaking that player's hand or that coach's hand like, hey, love you, buddy.
Hey, you
look great.
The passive aggressive. I don't mean to prolong
this thing, but like Jay said, the I love you. Oh, when I went back to Tampa and I saw Gruden and we won and I balled out the way I did. Oh, that middle of the field hug.
Love you.
Love you, John. You're great.
You're great.
Oh, you love
You're
you.
The best.
Best.
I miss you.
Miss you.
I love it.
Take It or Shake It is brought to you by Grainger. The Nets and Lakers will play in the NBA Finals. Take it or shake it.
Take that. Take it.
Take it! Load management has caught up to us, baby, on both sides. We are going to see this because we want to see it.
Yeah.
The NBA wants to see it, and the fans want to see it. And they'll be backing into the arenas. Oh,
you
for might sure.
Have 50, you could have 50%. At Barclays for a finals by then. That'll be July. You might even have close to full by
July. Okay, so absolutely.
The Maestro's back for James Harden.
Yeah.
Back for Brooklyn. Can't tell me there's a team better in the Eastern Conference than the Nets when they're fully healthy.
Fully healthy.
Fully
yes.
healthy. They're the best team.
What did he say the other day?
They're the most talented
team. No, what did Harden say yesterday?
Nobody has as much.
No, he said, oh, I'm really good at this game.
I'm really good at this game.
Really good at this.
He has said a lot of things.
And then I'm also watching Phoenix last night battle Portland. And I'm like, all right, so as a seventh seed, if the Lakers say a seventh, okay.
Yeah. Long we'll as take we stay, that. As long as they all stay healthy
we'll take that.
The collision course is coming.
And what you said was right, Jay. You can attest to this. The league wants this.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Oh, yeah.
Guys, Andy Dalton will play more games than Justin Fields. Take it or shake it.
Shake it! Not a chance.
Red Rocket.
Nah. Andy Dalton is basically making backup quarterback money in today's age. They could swallow that pill with no problem at all. You think about it. They gave Mike Glennon $18 million and started Mitch Trubisky. So think about the history of the Chicago Bears.
Nowhere but up, Chicago. Let's go.
How much does Chicago need this, Jay, though, really?
So they just need somebody that wants to be there and has, like, the moxie. They never had a quarterback of this kind of caliber for so long.
Since McMahon,
yeah.
Swag?
They had Jay Cutler, but they didn't really like Jay Cutler.
Yeah, that wasn't didn't have swag, though.
He was good. No, but they just didn't even like him, though. They didn't like his facial expression. They didn't like him.
Jay Cutler had a punchable face sometimes.
Yeah.
A punchable face?
A punchable. Well, you know, some guys are like,
real quick. Violence.
To Key's point, Mike Glennon, 4 games started. Mitch Trubisky, 12 games started in 2017.
And they gave him like $18 million to come over to be a backup.
That's all right.
So, of course. Money-wise, you know.
Don't, yeah.
That's why if you're Dalton and you got $10 million, you're like,
get your money, Mike Glennon.
They've done this before.
Get your money.
History. Know your history, Andy.
This will be the best season of Baker Mayfield's NFL career. Take it or shake it.
Take it! Absolutely. He's going to continue to grow in Kevin Stefanski's offense. We know what they are on the offensive side of the ball with Landry now to get OBJ back. They got the tight end. They got a running game. And I think he just continues to grow and gets better. Taking back off where he finished last season and started this season.
So does that mean they lose in the AFC Championship game?
I didn't say that, Jay.
Okay.
I just said he's going to
have the best year of his career, that means they're doing their thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but then Buffalo might have, Josh Allen might have the best season of his career. And then all of a sudden Lamar. And then, you know, so you just, I think statistically, not even statistically,
well,
just everything that Baker is doing just is going to look better. You know how it is being in the system. Yeah. Second and third year, you're like, I can go to sleep.
Is the best season of Baker Mayfield's career better than just a good year for Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson? Like, because if we're saying he's in the upper echelon of quarterbacks, right? Like, if he's trending in that direction, like, we have to compare him against.
I think all those guys are going in the right direction. I don't think Josh Allen is.
But who's more? Josh Allen's way more talented than Baker Mayfield.
I got a different question.
Okay.
This will be the best season of his career, meaning to date or meaning?
Of all time.
The whole career.
Today.
I mean, this is as good as it's going to get for
today.
Him.
Today.
So you think he can – it'll keep getting better.
It's going to get better. Maybe not – I don't know how you
– Is he going to win an MVP?
Yeah, like
– I don't think he'll ever win an MVP. And I don't think Josh Allen will win an MVP.
Well, Josh Allen was second last year in MVP
voting. I don't think he'll win an MVP, though. I just don't. That's just me.
Oof. You also said the Chiefs are going to go undefeated. Let's not forget that.
Yeah, he did.
James Steele, our producer. Yeah,
and everybody else
still liked it.
All these other 10,000 shows that you'll be on will be running with the same thing.
Oh,
watch.
You know it.
After they start off 8-0,
hot takes.
They're going to go undefeated.
I said this.
Speaking of the Chiefs,
yes,
Patrick Mahomes will break Peyton Manning's single season touchdown record.
An extra game this year.
I'll take one extra game.
What did he have last year?
What a great question to ask.
What did he have last year?
Let me go to it.
I would say
38.
Shake it. No, I don't think he'll break the single season record.
With an extra game?
Nah.
Going to load manage one of those games?
He only had 38. They're going to clinch early. He won't play.
Right.
And then I don't see where Andy Reid is going to put him out there in harm's way just to get 50 touchdowns. 50 plus touchdowns. I just don't see it happening.
What was the record?
55 is the record.
55
was the record.
And Mahomes had 50. Mahomes had 50 his first season, 2018.
Yeah, he had 38 last year.
If he sits out a lot of quarters.
38 in 15 games.
In 15 games, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not going to get it.
Okay.
All right.
We would have to
throw for 60.
Remember, their last game is against the Broncos, so it would be against the team that Manning said it with. And this is the last one, guys.
Last one.
We will have 2,000-yard rushers in the 17-game season. Take it or shake it.
I love your picture.
Shake
it!
Shake it!
Shake it! Derrick Henry would be the only guy closer. I mean, close, right? But when have we ever seen back-to-back 2,000-yard seasons from a running back or even close to that?
Even with the extra week, we don't see the
– A guy who rushes for 2,000 doesn't rush for 2,000 the next year. Man, I don't even think he rushes for, like, 1,500 the next year.
Look how big that boy is, man.
Now, I mean, and now it,
they throw the ball way more. Yeah. And I know Tennessee's offense is built around the running game. He takes an awful lot of hits.
Hypothetically, though, hypothetically, with the extra week, let's just say, Derrick Henry, if he's going to do it again,
it
who's
be
another
him.
Who's another that could as well? Give me another, just again, hypothetically. You don't believe it's going to happen, but if it would, who'd be your candidates?
I don't see anybody because I don't see any offenses that are heavy run oriented.
Saquon Barkley.
Saquon
back and healthy.
James still jumped in my ear and said Nick Chubb. I mean,
they're going to share the ball with everybody. They spit it around. There's nobody that offense is geared toward that, not even the Giants. The Giants just built the offensive skill positions to throw the ball because they got to evaluate that quarterback.
Well, actually, Dalvin Cook? They would run a lot, especially because Daniel Jones would run a lot too. But, yeah, Cook would need another one.
Dalvin Cook's a good one. No, Kamara, they're going to throw the ball.
Kamara, they throw
mostly. Well, with Jameis, I don't know.
All right. I like it.
That's Take It or Shake It, brought to you by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is always there to help. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Evan, did you choose the picture that's on TV right now of yourself?
That is from my LinkedIn profile.
Oh. How old are you in that picture?
That's only from like a couple years ago, Alan.
Sure.
Yeah.
A couple years ago.
Portrait mode.
I see you with the lean. You got the lean.
Portrait mode.
Got the
sunglasses.
You
cropped somebody out of the
picture. Sunglasses on top of that. No, I didn't crop anyone out. That my wife took that. We were out at a restaurant. I remember it. She took it. She was just got a new phone, and she was trying out portrait mode.
So that helped you get this job.
Changed that to my LinkedIn profile picture 2 weeks before the ESPN recruiter reached out to me to see if I'd be interested in interviewing.
Wow. So reached out to you or reached out to your dad?
Jeez,
leave
him alone.
He looks like he's trustworthy, good family man. Like you can just see that in that picture. So this is a great story. How to get ejected in 3 minutes. I've been trying that since I first started on the show. That's after Key has this from O'Reilly.
Or your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking, don't compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your windows. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. The professional parts and people will help you navigate their wide selection to find just the right wiper blades for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts will even install your wiper blades free of charge. I don't think I need them in the spring because I need them in the wintertime here in New York. See better and drive safer with new wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Let's take Stump in New York real quick. Stump.
This is one of the best shows in the history of television.
Thank you.
So, you know, you got KB.
Y'all hear that out there, bosses?
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click, Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again
by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer, changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. Alan Hahn in for Zubin, and we go A to Z, and it is Basketball Hall of Fame weekend. Shout out to my good friend Mike Breen, who's being inducted tonight, the Kurt Gowdy Award. He's a great, absolutely great announcer for the NBA, voice of the league. And Bill bang, Walton, bang. Hall of Famer. Speaking of which, Bill Walton's going to join us in the 9 o'clock hour. You do not want to miss that.
Throw it down, big fella.
We are basically going to say hello and then sit back and enjoy the pearls of wisdom that come out of his mouth. But speaking of UCLA big men, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So the NBA has created, guys, a Social Justice Champion Award. It recognizes a player who best embodies Abdul-Jabbar's strive for social justice and racial equality. The inaugural winner will be announced during the playoffs and receive $100,000 from the league to donate to the organization of his choosing. Four additional finalists will also receive $25,000. So here's Kareem on what made him use his platform to push for social justice.
Progress, it really started for me with Emmett Till. And I asked my parents why they killed, and my parents didn't have the words to explain it. But over the years, the explanation has become more obvious, especially with the advent of phone cameras. We now have proof of what we're dealing with. And people now can understand that and have some compassion. That's a win. And we got to keep building on these wins.
And guys, Kareem obviously was one of the biggest voices, as early as his college days and certainly as a superstar in the NBA when it comes to social justice and the need for social reform.
I mean, everything that Kareem has been able to do, and also, reading some of his books, reading some of his op-ed articles, really one of the most intelligent athletes I've ever met. And every time I listen to him speak, I walk away learning about the history of our game, the history of people in general, and how we can become better.
Also in the NBA, we have another story. And this is one that you had to see to believe. You can also hear it to believe it as well. So Udonis Haslem, didn't we get a call
the other day?
Somebody?
Some topic around that where UD came up.
Mocking UD. And I said, you don't ever. Like, he's the godfather in this league. Like, you show respect. So he made his season debut last night. He hadn't played, as everybody says. He doesn't play, but he takes up a roster spot. He hasn't played, but he played last night, and he was ejected from the game.
First game.
I mean, so it's his 18th straight season that he's appeared in a game, so that's why they got him into the game to make sure. He played 3 minutes. He got a bucket. I think he got two buckets, and then he got into a little fracas with Dwight Howard as they were playing. The Heat blew out the Sixers. So here's the call. Now, you got to hear the one from the Sixers' point of view. So here's the call from 97.5, the Fanatic, on the altercation between Haslem and Dwight Howard.
And Udonis Haslem now in words with Dwight Howard. And, he poked him in the face. He poked him in the face. Udonis Haslem going right at Dwight Howard. And I believe more technicals are going to be assessed here. Sam Cassell with willing ears listening to Udonis Haslem, as it's almost like Haslem has said, Howard, I've been watching you all year. I'm not putting up with it. And now Haslem, kick him out. He's out. He got kicked out. So Udonis Haslem gets in the game, but now he's not. See ya. UD, out.
See ya. He went Michael K. But if you see the play, so they're boxing out, and Dwight Howard doing what Dwight Howard does, he kind of
aggravates him.
Yeah, yeah. And he grabbed him by the arm, and he threw him down to the floor, and Haslem was like, no, you don't do that to me.
I don't think he threw him down to the floor. It looked like a swipe move, like where literally Udonis's weight got used against him, and he kind of like nudged him. It wasn't like a throw to the floor.
Well, not a throw, but yeah, he definitely used leverage.
Yeah,
and he just took off on him down.
I know, but I feel like UD had that planned.
You think so?
Oh,
let me UD, just get in here and let me get out of here.
UD loves. Come on. I love UD. UD is the first one to say something to you now to spark it up.
But like he had it planned as far as getting kicked out. I had it planned like this dude, as soon as he say something to me.
I think he just has a plan that he's going to set the tone. Yeah, whenever he's in the game, he sets the tone.
I mean, they blew out the Sixers.
Yes,
I mean, that's a big question win for Miami.
Yeah, I mean, whether or not, you know, they want the number one seed or where they are, but
in the NBA though, and really just get down.
I ain't trying to square up with UD though.
No, no. I'm saying, won't they just get down? They be fake fighting. Go
ahead, we should do that. We should do that one show. Top five guys in the league you do not want to fight.
There aren't many left.
You do not want. There are a couple.
I'm sure some dudes you don't want to scrap with that probably can throw them things. I'm sure some.
There was a guy who's he's like a kickboxing champion. Who is he? With the Raptors. Remember him? Yeah, what's his name? That's a guy you definitely don't want
to
mess with. Yeah, that's another guy as well.
Yeah, but all that kickboxing, if he hits you one good, it ain't going to be no kickboxing.
It's escaping me right now, but definitely know about him, and he's got a kickbox. He's actually like a champion, and that's a guy you don't want to fight. Nobody messes with him, but, yeah, the league used to be more of that.
For sure.
A lot more of that. Haslam's from that era, too.
James Johnson.
Yeah, James Johnson. That's absolutely the one. But still, just kind of funny. He gets in the game. He gets recorded a game. Okay, so that's 18 straight seasons you've played. We don't know if he's going to come back. Then Dwight gets into it. He's like, all right, I've had enough of you already. Like, you've been 3 minutes in the game. But that's why I call him the Godfather. All right, so the guys say that Baker Mayfield is about to have his best year yet.
Keyshawn said that.
So is it the Super Bowl or bust for the Browns? That's next. KJZ, ESPN Radio, and we're heading to ESPN News on TV.
Oh, way to go.